Welcome to Clued Up with Maria B, the behind-the-scenes photography podcast. Clued Up is your insider's view to building successful magazine-style photo shoots. We talk design and concept, fashion and style, tech, social media, and of course, business, plus so much more, including how to avoid common photography pitfalls. You'll also meet some special guests who work behind the camera and in front of the lens. Whether you're an aspiring photographer, a portrait photographer thinking about starting your own business, or you just have an interest in what it takes to plan and execute professional shoots, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Maria B. Now let's get you clued up. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Clued Up with Maria B, the behind-the-scenes photography podcast. Today we are going to embark on a mini-series called Know Your Camera. And periodically throughout our episodes, I'm going to talk about certain aspects of photography. This is going to be a little bit more on the technical side. If you've listened to my first couple of episodes, you know I strongly believe in knowing your camera and knowing it very, very well. As a matter of fact, the name of the series is called Know Your Camera, and it'll be an ongoing series throughout the podcast. And just to make things a little bit on the lighter side, instead of all tech, these episodes are going to be dispersed or intertwined between other episodes. So it won't be like 3 weeks of just talking tech. I wouldn't do that to you guys. Anyway, I think it's important to know your camera and to know its capabilities. A lot of the time, people end trading in or changing brands or moving up to a different model of camera when they really don't need to because they don't know the capabilities of the camera that's in their hand. It's a problem because you end up wasting money, and it's a problem because you can change cameras and still end up not taking better photos because it's not necessarily the tech part, and it's not necessarily the camera that determines how good of a photographer you are. It's knowing what your camera is capable with and using it to the maximum ability and then deciding, well, this doesn't work for me anymore, so I really need to move up. An example of that for me was for years I had a camera. It was a crop sensor camera. Great camera, took great photos, but the time had come where I really needed a larger sensor to take better or higher quality photos. So I just wanted to briefly say that know your camera and know it well. I'm not suggesting you read the manual from beginning to end because that's a really tough thing to do. But when I have a new camera, and it's been a couple of years since I've gotten a new camera, but for the longest time, I walked around with the manual in my bag because I never knew when something would happen that, you know, I needed a little help. Now, these days, you can just pull up the manual on your phone. So know your camera is what I'm trying to say, and know your camera well. We're going to start this series talking about the exposure triangle. I know from personal experience, and I know from so many people, this is one of the major obstacles to going deeper into photography. I think a lot of that has to do with the way the exposure triangle is explained. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that when people speak camera language, they fail to realize that most of the world does not speak that way, including people who are relatively new to photography. What I'd like to do is take the different pieces of the exposure triangle, and it's actually larger than a triangle, but just take those essential pieces and speak about each one of them and speak about them independently of each other. So, for example, if I'm going to talk about aperture, I'm only going to talk about aperture. I'm not going to talk about how aperture relates to shutter speed. I'm not going to talk about how aperture relates to ISO. We're only going to talk about aperture. And I think, again, that's part of the confusion that, you know, people rattle these terms off and they don't spend time on them. And then you expect others to understand. These can be complex concepts, and the best way to dive in is to dive in with simplicity. And having said that, here we go. I just want to say, though, I don't want to assume that everyone has a good working knowledge of the exposure triangle. Again, aperture, shutter speed, and ISO. I think that sometimes we make assumptions, not realizing that we're not all on the same page, and that's grossly unfair. I've been in that situation, and part of my goal is to avoid that for others. On the other hand, if you're listening to this podcast and you already get this, and it's pretty rudimentary for you, just bear with us as we try to help those who are not as far as long, because we all know we've been there. So let's start talking about this. Again, I know the term exposure triangle gives people a headache. So what I'd like for you to do is, if you've tried understanding this before and you didn't get it, please put that aside. Just think about this as starting from scratch and starting with a blank slate, because that's the best way to start understanding this. Again, I'm just going to talk about each part of the triangle independently. We're going to start talking about aperture today. And then a few episodes down the road, once we've covered some basics about cameras and about your lenses and lighting and whatnot, then we're going to put everything together. Now, here we go. So aperture refers to the opening that's in your lens. It's usually designated by the italicized small. Each one of the standard numbers for the opening of a lens is referred to as a stop, and hence the term f-stop. What starts driving people crazy about understanding aperture is that it's somewhat counterintuitive to the way our brain works. When we talk about aperture, the smaller the number, the wider the opening of the lens. So f2.8 is a much wider opening than f4. f4 is a wider opening than f11. f11 is a wider opening than f22. The f number actually represents a fraction, so that's why the higher the number, the smaller the opening. The higher the number, the smaller the opening. Meaning less light is coming through the lens. So the higher the number, the smaller the opening, meaning that less light is coming in through that opening, through the lens. That opening in your lens controls the amount of light that passes through the lens to help create your image in your camera. It controls how well your subject is lit, given other factors that, for now, we're not going to talk about. On your lens, there you'll find numbers that tell you how wide your lens can open, or in photography speak, the maximum aperture. For example, I have a 50 millimeter lens with a maximum aperture of 1.4. That means it can open up to f1.4. It's able to let a lot of light in. Remember, the lower the number, the greater the amount of light your lens can allow in, and that comes in very handy when you're in poor lighting situations. Also, the lower that maximum number, the lower the maximum aperture, that F number, the more expensive the lens. Let's assume you have a well-lit environment. You're in a room, the sun's coming in, you have great window light, and you have the correct, imagine I'm doing air quotes, you have the correct shutter speed and you have the correct ISO, whatever those numbers may be. The only thing you have to change to get the image you'd like to acquire is the aperture. If you open your aperture to its maximum, also referred to as shooting wide open, using the smallest number on the lens, you'll notice that your image is very, very bright. It may even be overexposed because if you are shooting wide open, meaning the maximum aperture, you will be letting in an awful lot of light. If you go all the way in the opposite direction to the smallest aperture, meaning the biggest number, for example, f/22, your image may be underexposed because you're only letting in a very small amount of light. You, as the photographer, will have to manipulate your lens, manipulate your aperture to find the best amount of light to light your subject the way you want it to be lit. For all lenses, these are the standard measurements for aperture: f/1.4, f/2, f/2.8, f/4, f/5.6, f/8, f/11, f/16, and f/22. Please don't try to figure out the mathematical rationale for these numbers. Just accept that these are the standards for each and every lens. Now, I say that, but as I'm sure you already know, lenses that have wide apertures, such as 1.4, 2, and 2.8, and even 4, can be very pricey. And for most people, they're not really necessary. Also, between any two of these standard numbers, there are also fractions between apertures, but we're not going to discuss that right now. We're only going to stick with the standard full apertures that you may see, ranging from f/1.4 to f/22. Each of these numbers is called a stop. That's a term that's used to describe lighting and other measurements in photography. So, if I'm at f/2.8 and I go to f/4, that's one stop. If I'm at f/16 and I go to f/11, that's one stop. If I'm at f/5.6 and I go to f/2, that's three stops, or three stops of light difference. So that would be, I start at f/5.6 and I go to f/4. That's one stop. I'm at f/4 and I go to f/2.8. That's another stop. I'm at f/2.8 and I go to f/2. That's another stop. So that's three stops, or three stops of light. Now, this is key, and you should try to spend some time understanding this if you do not already have an understanding. As you go down this list of numbers, every number represents half the amount of light as the number before it. F2 is half the amount of light as f/1.4. F2 lets in half the amount of light as f/1.4. Meaning, if you have a lens that has a maximum aperture of 1.4, when you go from 1.4 to 2, when you go from f/1.4 to f/2, you are cutting the amount of light coming in through your lens by half. F2.8 lets in half the amount of light as F2, and therefore 1/4 the amount of light as F1.4. F4 lets in half the amount of light as F2.8, and therefore 1/8 the amount of light as F1.4. F22 lets in half the amount of light as F16, and 1/256th times, that's 1/256 times the amount of light as 1.4. If you work in the opposite direction, F16 lets in twice the amount of light as F22. F11 lets in twice the amount of light as F16, and therefore 4 times the amount of light as F22. F8 lets in twice the amount of light as F11, and 8 times the amount of light as F22. If you go all the way to the end, F1.4 lets in twice the amount of light as F2, and 256 times the amount of light as F22. But you can forget all of the above. You can forget all of that math stuff with the half and the 2 times that I just said for each one of those values. Just remember that when you move between 2 adjacent f-stops, you're either doubling the amount of light that you're letting in, or you're decreasing the amount of light by half. So in our example above, when we go from F5.6 to F2, a 3-stop difference, when I went from F5.6 to F4, I doubled the amount of light coming into my lens. When I went from F4 to F2.8, I doubled the amount of light again. And when I went from F2.8 to F2, I doubled the amount of light for a 3rd time. Every time I changed by 1 stop in this sequence, I doubled the amount of light entering the lens. Not to confuse things, but if each time I double the light between each stop at F2, I now have 8 times the amount of light I had at F5.6. Because if you go from 5.6 to 4, from F5.6 to F4, you've doubled. And then when you go from F4 to F2.8, you've doubled between those 2 numbers. And then when you go from F2.8 to F2, you've doubled again. So you've doubled 3 times. 2 times 2 is 4, times 2 is 8. So in going from F5.6 to F2, I've increased the amount of light by 8 times. Okay, I hope this makes sense. All right, so this is key to understanding this. If I go from F4 to F5.6, I have decreased the amount of light coming into the lens by half. If I'm going from F5.6 and I go to F4, I have doubled the amount of light coming in through the lens. And I'm going to say that again. Keeping in mind that the smaller the number, the greater the amount of light. So F4 is more light than F5.6. It's twice the amount of light. So if I go from F4 to F5.6, I'm then decreasing, because I'm moving to a higher number, I am decreasing the amount of light coming in through the lens by half. And if I'm going from F5.6 to F4, going from a larger to a smaller number, 1 stop, I have now doubled the amount of light coming in through the lens. Again, between any two adjacent f-stops, you're either cutting the amount of light in half or you are doubling the amount of light that comes in through your lens. Now, take some time to go over that and really, really understand it, because this is key to so much of your photography work. It's essentially a fundamental. And if you get this, it can really change the way you work and what you're capable of producing in terms of the quality of your images. So now here's the next important thing about aperture. As you move toward maximum aperture, meaning your lowest number, the maximum amount of light that can enter your lens, as you move towards the smallest numbers, you get a blurring effect in your photos, meaning that the subject of your photo tends to be the only thing in your photo that is perfectly clear. It is the thing in your photo that is most in focus, while almost everything else is a little blurry, or a lot blurry. A photo of an object at f2.8 will have almost everything else blurred out, telling the viewer that this is the object of the photo. Again, pretend that your shutter speed and your ISO are not a factor. In front of you, you have two photos of a group of five people all lined up. Their photos were taken at two different apertures. In the first photo, the photographer had her camera's aperture, or her lens's aperture, set to f11. At f11, everyone in the photo is perfectly clear, as is everything in the background. In the second photo, the members of the group have not changed position. They are still all lined up, but the photographer changed her aperture to f2.8, and her focus point in her lens is only on one person. Everyone else and the background are now blurred out, though somewhat still distinguishable. In the first photo, the focus of the photo is the group and the setting. In the second photo, the focus is on the person who is perfectly clear. They become the subject of the photo. Each photo tells a different story, and this is the beauty of shooting in manual, because for the most part, you cannot accomplish this effect shooting in auto. In the example provided, if the photographer wanted the focus of the photo to be two people who are standing next to each other in that line, then the photographer would have to use an aperture with a higher number than 2.8. Perhaps f4, perhaps f5.6. So when determining your aperture, there are two things. Well, there are more than two things, but for the purpose of this episode, there are two things you need to consider. One, how much light do you want to let into your lens in order to light your subject the way you want them to be lit? And two, what is the focus of your photo and what aperture best conveys that to the viewer? Now, an example of this is back in episode 6 when I talked about photographing my client who wore very ornate sari, and that I wanted to capture her and not have the ornate clothing sort of overwhelm the photo. But it was so beautiful, I also wanted to capture that with some degree of clarity. I wanted to show the detail and the beauty of her clothing, so therefore most of the photos were shot between f4 and f5.6. A few other things to consider. I'm repeating myself here, but If you don't know them already, you have to learn the standard f-stops for lenses. It's an absolute must. Also, you have to learn and understand that when you move between two adjacent f-stops, you're either doubling the amount of light you let into your lens or you're decreasing the amount of light by half. So, how in the world do you make sense out of all of this? Well, this is what works for me, or what worked for me when I was learning this, and I've recommended it to many people, and it's worked for them. Everyone learns differently, so this may not work for everyone who's listening, but for some it may. First, put your camera in auto. Take a photo in a well-lit room, preferably with natural light or window light. Don't use flash. Once you have a well-exposed photo, write down those settings. Then, change the mode of your camera. Put your camera in manual mode. Take the photo again. You haven't changed any of the settings. You're just switching from auto to manual. You're going to take that photo again, and it should look absolutely the same as when you took it in auto. Leave the shutter speed and the ISO exactly where they were when you took the photo in auto. If you have a camera that does not retain those settings, then dial them in, and that's the reason why I had said to write them down. So if that's the case, you're then going to dial in the shutter speed that was used when you took the photo in auto. And once you've done that, start taking photos, but do so changing the aperture number. Change your f-stop. You'll see dramatic differences in your photos. In some cases, you may want to import your photos into Lightroom or whatever program you use, because the LCD on the back of your camera doesn't always provide the most accurate appearance of your photos. But once you see your photos on the screen, you'll notice if you shot a photo at, let's say, f4, perhaps your object was perfectly clear, but the background was blurry. But when you shot it at f8 or maybe f5.6, you notice there was increase in clarity in the background of your photo and the surrounding area of whatever the subject of your photo happens to be. Again, this is how I came to understand aperture. I did this from my living room couch and shot hundreds upon hundreds of photos of ornaments, the dog, anything in the room. You're just doing this to learn aperture, and the best way to learn it is to do it over and over and over again. The light bulb will go on. It'll just hit you one day and you will understand the whole thing about twice the light, half the light, the blurring effect of using a lower aperture versus a higher aperture where everything in your photo is perfectly clear. This is the best way to learn, and it's just a matter of practice, practice, practice. Okay, so that covers our little talk about aperture, f-stops, and I know I've said it about 100 times during this episode, but please, please do yourself a favor. If you don't know it already, learn those key numbers, because they're the numbers that show up on your camera, and you need to have an understanding of how they relate to each other. Okay, guys, so I hope this really helps you. You may have to listen to it again, and I know that can be a little bit on the tedious side, but there are parts of this episode where I speak rather slowly, and it's pretty deliberate because I really want you to soak this in and understand it. I don't want you to have to struggle with understanding aperture for weeks or months or years. And believe me, there are people who, they've been in photography, they've been doing this, they still don't get it. you will move so much further along if you get to an understanding about this. At some point in the future, near future, I am going to have a question and answer session. So if you have questions at that point about anything that I've gone over, be it this session, past episodes, upcoming episodes, please feel free to ask. And I will provide you with that information about a week before that Q&A session. Also, I want to mention that for each episode that I produce, there is a website where you can also see some additional information. So for the episodes where I talk about, you know, behind the scenes of a specific photo shoot, there are photos related to that. For today's episode, I am going to post a couple of photos that just demonstrate the differences between apertures and the differences in the size of the opening in your lens when you're changing apertures. So by going to the website, going through the show notes, and viewing some of the things that I'm speaking about, it definitely will make it easier to understand. Also, for some episodes, I provide the links if I talk about certain products. And just as a reminder, I am not sponsored by anyone. If you hear me talking about a product, it's because I use it and I appreciate it and it makes my photography life a little bit easier. If and when I am ever sponsored by a company, you can guarantee it will only be a company that I truly believe in. So I just want to let you know about that. And I want to thank you so much for your time and for listening to this podcast and for staying with me. I cannot express to you how much that means to me. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon. Today's episode of Clued Up with Maria B, the Behind the Scenes Photography Podcast, has been brought to you by Headshot NJ, leading provider of headshot and personal branding services in Northern New Jersey. For your business, social platforms, or printed marketing material, your business, your image, Headshot NJ. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Clued Up with me, your host, Maria B. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. I really appreciate your support. When you rate, subscribe, and review, you're also helping other listeners find and enjoy this podcast. Until next time.